Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You have seen my work in The Athletic and McKean's Hockey and Toronto Hockey Now, also on TSN.ca for many years. But today, on this episode, we're going to we'll look back at Monday night's action in the National Hockey League. We will look at a few surprising scorers coming out early in the season. We'll dig deep on the waiver wire, some injury updates, and then some matchups and DFS value plays for Tuesday. But first, we're going to look at Carey Price, and it appears that the Montreal Canadiens have a little bit of good news coming their way. So as I said, we're going to start talking about Carey Price. And the Montreal Canadiens did get some positive news because Price is expected to exit the NHL on NHLPA assistance program on Saturday. And, you know, that's, you know, he's only really going to miss a little bit more than 3 weeks into the season. So all things considered, that's a relatively quick return, but not as though it saved the Montreal Canadiens. They're sitting on a 2-8 record through 10 games. Now, for fantasy purposes, Jake Allen certainly loses some value in deep leagues. Maybe he's going to be active enough because I don't imagine that, you know, Montreal is going to take Carey Price and then, you know, play him some outrageous amount. I think the whole reason for having Jake Allen is that he can play more than your average backup and give Carey Price a bit of a break. And so for that reason, I think, you know, Jake Allen in deeper leagues probably still holds some appeal. But I guess the question as it pertains to Carey Price is whether, you know, he'll be sharp and on top of his game. It would be entirely understandable if he is not. And he's also going to be playing behind a team that is struggling. And Price, you know, over the past, say, four seasons, I think three of them, he's been mediocre, maybe even worse. And so there is, you know, some question about how much value he's going to offer right away. Now, Price's playoff performances in recent seasons have been notably better, so you know that, you know, there is, you know, potential there that he could put up some great numbers. If you're the Montreal Canadiens hoping to get out of this early season funk, you would much rather try it with Carey Price than without. If you drafted Carey Price in fantasy, you would be happy that he's back. If you're a human being who has empathy for other people, you can be happy that he's back. If you're forecasting the results for Carey Price, I would still tread cautiously. I mean, yes, certainly add him if he's available and take your chances, but do not think that all your goaltending problems are solved just because Carey Price might be on his way back. So now let's take a look at Monday's games in the National Hockey League. We start out, Washington Capitals lose 3-2 at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Anthony Cirelli leads the way for the Lightning, goal and two assists. And Cirelli was one of my, I guess, preferred sleepers coming into the season because he really just his offense dried up completely last year, apparently due to a wrist injury. You know, they aren't terribly forthcoming about all these injuries sometimes, but after the Lightning had won the Cup, there was some talk about how Cirelli had played through a wrist injury that and he had like 1 point in his last 25 games or something along those lines last year. So a healthy Cirelli this year seems like a decent bet to bounce back. And it's not as though he's going to be a monster scorer, but he can very easily be a credible second-line center, in addition to the fact that he's a really great checker who could contend for a Selke trophy. So Anthony Cirelli, big three-point night in a 3-2 win. The Lightning also got goals from Alex Killorn and Braden Point. Point is, you know, I think coming into this year, I had really high expectations because I thought you'd pair him with Kucherov and they would just tee off. Well, he doesn't have that benefit this year. At the same time, Killorn just continues to be a very productive secondary scorer for Tampa Bay. In fact, this year he might be pushing into primary scorer with them. And then Andre Vasilevsky had 31 saves on 33 shots for the Lightning, and that is one of the kind of saving graces for Tampa Bay, is that you know, maybe they're missing some guys with injuries, but they also happen to have, you know, one of the very best goaltenders who can bail them out from time to time. Two goals for Washington, Connor Sherry and rookie Brett Leason. And so, I mean, Leason, kind of a late bloomer, but he's a big winger who, you know, maybe see whether he turns into something for the Capitals. My guess is he's on the lower half of the depth chart, but kind of see where it goes. Good for him to get on the board. But it was not easy to beat Andrei Vasilevsky on this night. Ottawa went into Chicago, lost 5-1. The Blackhawks finally getting their first win of the season. Patrick Kane returning from COVID protocols, had 3 goals and an assist to lead the way. And Brandon Hagel had 2 goals for the Blackhawks. That covered their 5 goals. Now, Kane, you know, I think it was Mark Lazarus from The Athletic tweeted out about Kane improving the Blackhawks offense when he comes back. And that's obviously a bit tongue-in-cheek because, of course, he does. And then, you know, my tongue-in-cheek response to that would be he improves everybody's offense because as great as Patrick Kane can be offensively, he tends to give a lot of it back when he's on the ice for the other team as well. But I think if Chicago has kind of any hopes of, you know, salvaging this season, becoming remotely competitive, they need, you know, their stars to lead the way. And certainly Kane going 3 goals and an assist helps. Jonathan Toews had 3 assists. Brandon Hagel, as I said, had a pair of goals. Dominic Kubalik had 2 assists. And Marc-Andre Fleury, who has not had his best start to the season, he stopped 29 of 30 shots in this game. And so that's, I guess, one positive sign here for Chicago. They're trying to climb out from under a pile of sewage, and it's, you know, they're not going to just solve it all by beating the Ottawa Senators on a Monday night in November. But it's going to take some time, and really the stuff that they need to sort out is more off ice than on. But when it comes to the off ice or the on ice issues, this is a team that they tried to build into being at least a playoff team this year, and right now they're a long way from that. So Alex Formanton, the only goal scorer for Ottawa in this game. And then we move to the late game. Seattle loses 5-2 at Edmonton. Leon Draisaitl, 2 goals, 2 assists to lead the Oilers. And, I mean, what do you say? If you manage not to get caved in by Connor McDavid, the Oilers do have Draisaitl there to get you on the other side. And I think that's, you know, this is the one reason you should be optimistic about Edmonton. They've got stars who can make a real difference. And Draisaitl did that for this game. Other goal scorers for Edmonton: Kyle Turris, stop the presses there. Kyler Yamamoto and Duncan Keith. And so, yes, the Oilers need more than just Draisaitl and McDavid. So, you know, good to see Duncan Keith contribute. Good to see Kyler Yamamoto contribute. And I mean, Kyle Turris, great that you can get something out of him. But I'm not expecting a huge year from Kyle Turris. The only goal scorers for Seattle in this game: Jaden Schwartz and defenseman Carson Soucy. Now, Schwartz, I think we recommended him in DFS yesterday, so good on him for scoring. But sometimes it's tough for Seattle to generate enough offense. They have, to their credit, have been getting better at controlling play, and they did it in this game too. Mikko Koskinen stopped 27 of 29 shots. The Kraken did get the better of the shot counts, but I think, you know, one of the issues when you run into a team like Edmonton is that they don't need quite as many shots because Draisaitl and McDavid, in particular, they create really high quality chances, and so they tend to score on a really very high percentage of their shots. But so Seattle is still an interesting team to watch. Not just because they're an expansion team, but because they're an expansion team that does seem to be, making progress in terms of whether they're controlling play. And last night they were going with their third string goaltender, Joey Decord. And so that doesn't, necessarily benefit them. But as I say, team to watch, see whether or not this kind of early statistical progress kind of continues in their favor. For the Oilers, I think Mikko Koskinen has a chance to give them some value this year, just because it's going to be really hard for Mike Smith to duplicate the season that he had last year. And so if the Oilers, their expectations are obviously high, and they not only expect to be a playoff team, but I think probably to be a good playoff team. And so you're going to need competent goaltending to get there. And Mikko Koskinen didn't have a very good season last year for the Oilers, but his seasons before that were much closer to league average. And if he played league average for them this year, I think they'd be pretty happy with that. So next up, we're going to look at some surprising scorers early in this season, dig deep on the waiver wire, some injury updates, and more. Thanks for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Now, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. So let's take a look at a handful of players coming out of the gate really fast this season, and maybe a little bit unexpected, or at least to the degree that they've started effectively. You know, Connor McDavid's off to a great start, but no one's surprised by that. And so first up, we got Kyle Connor, left winger for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, it's no surprise that Kyle Connor can score. Guy's multi-time 30-goal scorer. And this season, though, in 8 games, he's got 7 goals, 7 assists. +5, 4 power play points, and 37 shots on goal. And I think that's the very encouraging sign for Kyle Connor, is that the shot rate is as lofty as it is. I don't think he's going to continue on a 70-plus goal, 70-plus assist pace. But when you're looking at a player who's off to, you know, a really spectacular start, you want to see some underlying numbers that back it up. And in Connor's case, 37 shots on goal in 8 games, you're up about 4.6, 4.7 shots per game there. That is something that you can kind of count on. And now I don't know that he can even keep that kind of shot rate going, but you would much rather bank on a guy who's generating a ton of shots as opposed to somebody who's just riding a super high percentage in that small sample. So Kyle Connor off to a great start. It's almost assuredly going to slow down, but I do like the underlying numbers there as well. Timo Meier, the right winger for San Jose, in his first 8 games, 5 goals, 6 assists, +5, 37 shots on goal, same as Kyle Connor. And Meier has long been a player who can generate shots, but the results kind of come and go as his percentages do. And I think at this point, with 37 shots on goal in 8 games, I'd be very positive on Timo Meier. Now, having said that, he is also in COVID protocol, because apparently the Sharks are ravaging their team at the moment. And so Meier has been the latest to enter COVID protocol. And so that might keep him out for the foreseeable future here. But at least in the performance to this point in the season, I think Timo Meier has been one of the better value plays already. The Rangers left winger Chris Kreider, who in 9 games has 7 goals, only 1 assist. He's +4, 5 power play points, 26 hits, 29 shots on goal. And I think Kreider has always had fantasy value because, you know, he'll get you 25 goals, but he'll also rack up some hits. And there aren't a ton of guys who can score the way he does, but also give you a decent hit total as well. And this season, I mean, he's pushing 3 hits per game, and it's 7 goals in 9 games. That's not likely to last. But you're kind of getting the best version of Chris Kreider early in the season, in terms of guy who's scoring, getting power play points, and giving hits. In the same way that I don't expect Kyle Connor to maintain this level, I don't expect Chris Kreider to either. But I'd be encouraged by his shot rate being relatively high, up over 3.2 per game, and the fact that he's combining hits and goals, which are kind of, I would say, calling cards for Chris Kreider's game. Washington Capitals center Evgeny Kuznetsov, who really had a down season in 2021, and came into this season kind of under a bit of pressure. I mean, I think at the end of last season, there was some expectation that the Capitals might just want to, cut ties with Kuznetsov. He did not have a great season for them, but he had violated COVID protocols I think there was a lot of disappointment basically in Washington, and if they could have moved Kuznetsov, I think they might have, but he had 4 years, $7.8 million cap hit coming off a down season. I don't think there was a lot of market for it. So the Capitals, run it back with Kuznetsov, and good thing, because Nicholas Backstrom hasn't been able to play yet this season. And Kuznetsov has just responded to the challenge. You know, we don't have our number one center. Can you fill that void? And Kuznetsov has in 9 games. He's got 13 points. He's +6, 5 power play points, 27 shots on goal. That's, you know, all you could ask for from Kuznetsov under these circumstances. And so at some point when Nicklas Backstrom comes back, and maybe that reduces Kuznetsov's impact on the power play, but I think, you know, he has shown, obviously, when the Capitals won the Cup, he was a really big part of that. And he's shown that he can be, you know, a legitimate number one playmaking center. And, you know, that's what makes the Capitals dangerous, is that when they're healthy and everything's working, you know, you've got two guys at the top of the depth chart there who are, you know, legit number one type center playmakers. And so Kuznetsov has, you know, really responded to the opportunity with Backstrom out to start this year. Then we've got one defenseman here, Kevin Shattenkirk, the Anaheim Ducks. And, you know, Shattenkirk's been a pretty decent puck-moving defenseman in his career, but not the most productive. But this season, off to a great start. 10 points in 10 games, got 3 goals, 7 assists, +6, 5 power play points, 19 block shots, and 14 shots on goal. And I think what is the thing that puts Shattenkirk over the top, I mean, 10 points in 10 games is certainly better than he has fared throughout his career. But if you go over the past 4 seasons, Shattenkirk's averaging 1.2 block shots per game. Totally fine, but it's not a huge difference maker for him in fantasy. Well, right now he's got 19 blocks in 10 games, so 1.9 blocks per game is much more of an impact in terms of fantasy, especially when it's a guy who's putting up a point per game. Now, if I had to guess, Kevin Shattenkirk is not going to keep this pace, and you know, if you could get some value for him based on this hot start, I would explore that opportunity. But if not, if you're kind of, you know, you picked up Kevin Shattenkirk and you're sticking with him, I don't mind seeing how this plays out for him, because I would expect there was a relatively low investment to get him. You know, you didn't have to draft Kevin Shattenkirk early, and if you either drafted him late or grabbed him on waivers, that's a pretty low cost of opportunity there. There we go. We've talked Kyle Connor, Timo Meier, Chris Kreider, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Kevin Shattenkirk. Handful of players who are off to really nice starts this season. And, you know, I think in most cases, you can probably expect better things to continue for them. Now, every episode, I recommend one player rostered in 10% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Maybe it's a player to put on your radar for the future, or maybe it's somebody you need to race out to the waiver wire to beat the competition. But they will likely be available. And today we're going with Carolina Hurricanes defenseman Brett Pesce. Now, Pesce is somewhat underrated, I guess, both overall, but particularly in fantasy, because he doesn't put up huge numbers. At the same time, he puts up enough numbers to kind of get you interested in deeper leagues at the very least. In 8 games so far this year, he's got 5 points. Now, he's only even on plus minus for a Carolina team that's, you know, running roughshod, so there's probably a chance that improves. 14 shots on goal, 13 block shots, handful of hits. I think really, you know, Brett Pesce isn't going to come in and be a star on your defense, but certainly in deeper leagues, he would have value as a guy who can, you know, give you some points, give you some block shots, and be adequate in the kind of lower half of your fantasy depth chart. And Brett Pesce is rostered in just 8% of Yahoo leagues. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Hockey your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. And we are back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, National Hockey League, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, before we get into Tuesday's matchups and DFS tips, we've got a few injury updates for the National Hockey League. And we start out with Vegas Golden Knights center William Karlsson, out 6 weeks with a broken foot. Nicholas Waugh moves up. Looks like he's going to get a shot to center Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. But boy, Vegas is really battling injuries here. They're out Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone. Alex Tuch has been out all season. And so they're they're digging deep on their roster here to just fill out a lineup, but you're missing the guys at the top of the lineup, which is that's I guess the the bigger hit for the Golden Knights. Then we've got a few players landing in COVID protocol. As I mentioned with San Jose, Timo Meier appears headed there. San Jose winger Kevin LeBanc as well in COVID protocol. That's a couple of quality playmaking wingers there for the Sharks. Columbus left winger Max Domi is in COVID protocol, as is Seattle Kraken center Jared McCann. And so in any of these cases where we're getting news of somebody in COVID protocol, I mean, you could have somebody who's out for weeks, or you could have somebody who gets a couple of positive tests within 24 hours and they're back at it in time for the next game. And so you really have to kind of pay attention in any of these cases. So now let's look at the NHL schedule on betonline.ag. There is literally only one game where I see some potential value, and you're going to have to be brave to do it. And that is Nashville Predators +137 at the Calgary Flames. And, the Calgary Flames are, pardon the pun here, but they're red hot. So picking against them, you're already taking a bit of a risk. Jacob Markstrom is the first star in the National Hockey League over the past week. Really, this is not exactly the way to get wealthy picking against the hottest team with the hottest goaltender. But I think in terms of relative value, Nashville +137, there is at least an opportunity there to get a favorable payoff compared to some of the other matchups that you see on the schedule that are either more lopsided or where I don't necessarily like the underdog quite as much. So I think Nashville is at least competitive, and if UC Saros turns in a good game, maybe he gives them a fighting chance. So thanks to betonline.ag for those odds. Let's go grab a few DFS value plays for Tuesday. Start with skaters under $5,000 on DraftKings. New Jersey Devils center Dawson Mercer, $4,300 at Anaheim. Mercer, the rookie, just continues to get better. You can kind of see growth in his game early here in his career. And so reasonably favorable matchup, although it's on the road. But Anaheim is not exactly a shutdown team. So maybe a shot there at Mercer at that price. Ottawa center Nick Paul, $3,700 at Minnesota. Now, Paul obviously no more for his defensive play, but he's a productive player nonetheless. Detroit winger, we're on to another rookie, Lucas Raymond, $4,800 at Montreal. Now, Raymond didn't have a huge game against Toronto on Saturday, one assist and maybe one shot on goal, but he's been very productive early in his NHL career, and Montreal, they're going through their own woes, so maybe there's an opportunity there for Raymond to produce. Toronto winger Michael Bunting, another rookie, technically at least, $4,000 at home against Vegas. As I mentioned, Vegas is really depleted by injuries, and Bunting has an opportunity playing on Toronto's top line with Austin Matthews and William Nylander, and he gets second unit power play time, so not a bad shot to take there. Philadelphia winger James Van Riemsdyk, $4,200 at home against Arizona. Van Riemsdyk off to a relatively slow start this season, but there's a favorable matchup here. Arizona is looking like one of the worst teams we've ever seen. And so JVR at $4,200 is all right. On defense, Vegas is Nick Hague, $3,500 at Toronto. The opportunity, Hague kind of continues to move up the depth chart. He's been playing with Alex Petrangelo lately. And so if he's, playing up in the Vegas lineup, maybe $3,500 is not a bad investment. And then another rookie, Detroit defenseman Moritz Seider, is $4,100 at Montreal. Seider is looking, every bit up to the hype coming into this year, that he isn't, merely a capable NHL defenseman, but he has a chance to be a star. And so good for Detroit having Raymond and Seider, and because they're still relatively early in their careers, you might have a shot at getting some value on their price here on DraftKings. And then in goal, try Vancouver's Thatcher Demko, who going against the New York Rangers. Demko, $7,600 against the Rangers, and it's not super cheap, but it's not paying kind of full retail price for a favorite goaltender at home, because Vancouver and the Rangers are a competitive matchup. So there's an opportunity there, I guess, that maybe it doesn't turn out for Thatcher Demko, but he's at least worth a shot here at home. So that will do it for today. Enjoy tonight's games. You can check out my work at The Athletic, McKean's Hockey, and Toronto Hockey Now. Follow this podcast on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Hockey your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On Crosscheck podcast with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. I was on their season preview episode, and I enjoyed it very much. They do a great job breaking down all the games. It's free and available on all platforms.